morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. Sitting across from me
is Mike Cosentino.
And joining us today is one of our producers and writers,
Gary LeMaster.
So we're here again today, and we're going to be talking about the Bundy standoff in Nevada that took place in April. And we're going to be talking about the reaction and the participation in this standoff by Paul Gosar, which I call the whack job congressman from the guy's district.
Unfortunately represents me.
Yeah. And Bob Thorpe, who's the wacky guy who represents us in the states.
In LD6. So we're going to talk about Paul Gosar in the federal level.
CD4.
And CD4, thank you.
And they're about as extreme as they get. So what happens? Well, let's go back in history. Now the charges are, of course, the BLM overreacted.
Let's frame this though, okay? Yeah. Both of the guys that we're going to talk about, Bob Thorpe,
yes,
and Paul Gosar, supported the Cliven Bundy. We consider it treason, but we'll talk more. You're going to tell us more about
it. It's sedition, not
sedition.
Sedition.
I
have the definition here if we want to go into it, but Thorpe gave an impassioned spiel on the floor of the Arizona State House, and Gosar went immediately running to Bundy's side.
And we just want you to know one thing, that your representatives are support this guy in Nevada, and Steve's about to tell us exactly what that guy in Nevada is all about, in case you haven't been following this every second on.
So the story, the charge is that the BLM overreacted, but the BLM is the most industry friendly government agency that manages land. It has a reputation for supporting mining interests, cattle interests, and stuff. So if you get in a fight with the BLM and you're a cattle rancher, you're fighting with the guys who are kind of most on your side. When does this start? Well, it starts 20 years ago. 20 years ago, there was a little bit of a change in the regulation. Bundy and his father had been paying their range fees for decades, and they decided 20 years ago not to pay them. So the BLM doesn't do anything for almost 20 years. They go to court. In 1998, they go to court and they win an injunction against Bundy. And, the court basically tells him to remove his cattle and pay a fine. I think it's $100 a head per day. It's one of these fines that's supposed to motivate you to obey the law. So this thing has been going on for 20 years. And for talking about overreacting bureaucrats, they don't really do anything about it for 20 years. Except go to court. There is no dispute. They've been to court several times with amendments and more procedures. They've never lost. The federal government has lost every single court. Won every single court decision. Clive Bundy has lost all of them.
And he grazes tens of thousands of pounds of his cattle for free.
Right. And he's overgrazing. He's damaging public land.
The dispute really started over the tortoise, am I correct?
Yeah, it starts over an endangered species, but also the charges and stuff. So, when did the United States get this land? So Bundy says the land belongs to me because my ancestors way back in the 1870s homesteaded this land and they inherited the rights to run their cattle on this land. It's all a lie. It's all a lie. The land that the ranch was built on, the ranch was not built until something like 1951. They bought the land in the late 1940s. Bundy was born in Arizona. The family is from Arizona. Part of the family is from Denmark originally. The rest of it from Illinois and Nebraska. They'd been in Utah a long time, but they moved to Nebraska fairly recently.
They've been in Nevada a long time.
No, they were in Utah a long time, and they moved over into Nevada.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the families are actually mostly from Utah. Mormons, families, of course, and polygamists. And so there's a long, complicated history there. So what happens? He decides to not pay the fees, and the government takes 20 years to do anything, and what they do is they send some rangers to round up the cattle and pound the cattle that have been all this time grazing on public land, and there's this horrendous confrontation. That land is acquired in what's called the Mexican Secession Act of 1848, part of the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo with Mexico. The land was acquired by the federal government. There were no states here when the land was acquired. The federal government acquired every single bit of the land in the concession. It's owned by the United States government. The United States government, of course, is not interested in having land with no people on it, really. Not massive areas, because what happens to Mexico is that Mexicans really do not have much population up here in the north. It's unpopulated. And when you have an unpopulated area, it opens it up for other people to come and take your land. So it's acquired in the 1840s before the state. There are no states, so claims of states' rights are very strange since there were no states when the land was acquired.
There was an agreement that the land should stay with the federal government as a condition of statehood.
Right.
So when the states were formed, they actually agreed to allow the federal government to retain that land.
So there's, Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution reads, Congress shall have the power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulation respecting the territory and other property belonging to the United States. And this is why Bundy loses in court. Every time he goes to court, he loses because of things like that. Bundy says, well, I'll abide by all Nevada laws, but I don't recognize the United States government as even existing.
As he's riding around on his horse carrying an American flag.
As he's riding around on his horse carrying an American flag. This is that, so he says, I abide by all those Nevada laws, except the Nevada Constitution says, in Article 1, Section 2, the paramount allegiance of every citizen is due the federal government in the exercise of all of its constitutional powers as have been and will be defined by the Supreme Court of the United States. Whenever any portion of the states or the people thereof attempt to secede from the federal union or forcibly resist execution of its laws, the federal government may, by warrant of the Constitution, employ armed force in compelling obedience to its authority. That's the Nevada Constitution. So every time Bundy goes to court, he loses. But rather than being overbearing federal government, you have federal bureaucrats, for better or worse, who don't really want to fight. We have Ruby Ridge on the right when they tried to enforce gun laws in Idaho. We had the Branch Davidian shootout in Texas. There was a terrible shootout with the left, kind of left-wing African-American cult in Philadelphia. Half dozen houses got burned down in the process. So the federal government doesn't want a violent confrontation. They've been trying to nudge Bundy into paying his bills. There are something like 18,000 allotments to run cattle in the western United States. So there's, say, 20,000 allotments, and everybody else is paying their fees. The fees are about a tenth what you'd pay a private landowner. It is, for ranchers, a massive subsidy. So Bundy is refusing to pay for grazing his land on our public land, which is massively subsidized and beyond any private landowner would do. He has only 160 acres. His family never owned that land until recently. They have no record of any rights to raise cattle on it. The amount of damage he's done to the area is great. So legally, there's no case. And what I think strikes me, Gary and Mike, is how extreme. So here you have this agency that's really cattle ranching oriented, federal agency. You have it bending over backwards not to get into a fight with this guy. It's hard for them to go and get into a fight over a few hundred or even thousand acres of land that are getting trampled on by cattle and archaeological sites getting ruined and stuff. It's hard for them to get in a fight. And yet that provokes this violent reaction. Militia members show up from all over the United States.
Armed militia members.
Armed militia men show up from all over the United States. They point guns at the Rangers. The Rangers back down. So the United States government tries to enforce the law. A law that is not something that they made up. It's a law that's in the Constitution of both Nevada and the U.S. Constitution. And it's been adjudicated. It's been in court for two decades. And they've won every single case. So they didn't just show up out of the blue. But Bundy believes, and I think Gary will tell you about it, a particular sort of sovereign citizen, posse comitatus belief, some of the most absurd, I guess, political ideas I've ever heard.
Yeah, I think Gary, tell us about it. Posse comitatus used to meet in Cottonwood. I remember the restaurant and the place with, it was a group out of, well, the leader was out of Cornville. I don't know where the rest of them came from. But you're going to tell us about Bundy and then tell us about the posse. You've got some interesting facts.
Well, what Bundy's beliefs are, as he expounded in his interviews, prior to even getting into the racist, rants, saying that black people would be better off, the Negro would be better off.
When an old white guy starts out with the phrase, let me tell you about the Negro people, you know you've got a problem. And I think we want to address later, Mike, Gary, is the fact that he's lionized by the right-wing media. It's
right.
Not just what he did.
But that's what this is all about.
It's not just the armed militia extremists apparently stopping people in motorists and demanding identification and so forth and so on. It goes beyond that, right, Gary?
Yeah, it's I want to read you the U.S. Code 2384. It's the Sedition Act. If two or more persons conspire to oppose by force the authority or by force to prevent, hinder, or delay the execution of any law of the United States, or by force to seize, take, or possess any property of the U.S., they shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years, or both. Not only were the actions of Bundy and the militia, when they bring arms across state lines, which is a violation of another law, threaten violence against federal agents, that alone is a violation of law, but then, it's an act of sedition. And when, supporters come running to his side, including some of our state legislators and our congressmen, that is, in fact, an act of sedition. And when the media, like Fox News, come out in support of Bundy and encourage Bundy and the militia to fight back against the government, that, too, is an act of sedition.
So there's groups like the militia called the Oath Keepers, the White Mountain Militia, and the Praetorian Guards are among the people there.
Wow.
What I thought was interesting, just to digress, is that the Oath Keepers got into an argument with the other militia because the Oath Keepers claimed they got on a very important Defense Department source told them that a drone was going to blow up Bundy's ranch, that Obama and, of course, Holder, it has to be the two black guys in government who are most prominent, are planning to blow up Bundy's Ranch, and they left, and they were accused by the other militia of treason for skipping out on getting blown up by non-existent drones.
And since this whole event took place, or began, I should say, it's still going on, the militia and his supporters have been blockading public roads and doing checks to make sure that it's no government officials coming to arrest Bundy. Also, I don't know if you have any details on it, but this past weekend, Bundy called his supporters, to come, to a rally, an ATV rally that was going to, take place illegally on federal lands that are,
it's Recapture Canyon. It's a canyon with 300 sensitive archaeological sites and a stream running through it. And they're driving ATVs up and down.
And it's sacred to Native Americans. It's an area that's particularly sacred to Native Americans.
And even the ATV aficionados are saying, look, there's plenty of places to ride your ATV. You don't have to do it here.
There are apparently 4,000 miles of ATV trails in Utah, and they want to drive in this ecologically sensitive zone to make a point. And the guy who's leading it, I think, is a commissioner of the county, and he says this land belongs to the people of San Juan County. No, it doesn't. It never did. It never will. It belongs to the American people. It's administered by the government of the United States. It doesn't belong to a particular county. That would be absolute anarchy if we had counties owning the land that belonged to all of us. I think, folks, you don't really want these whack jobs seizing our public lands and writing the rules that benefit themselves. So, you know, a lot of Bundy's ideology, and Gary, let's get back talking about Posse Comitatus, is because the federal courts ruled against him, so then he doesn't believe in the federal government.
Right. But he and a lot of these people, including Thorpe, there was an article written by the director of the Center for Biological Diversity that appeared in a number of newspapers recently, that was taking Representative Thorpe to task for being a supporter of Posse Comitatus ideas. And the heart of the Posse Comitatus is that it was a group that was founded following the Civil War to run the Union, you know, revenuers away. And the heart of its belief is that the sheriffs have sovereignty, not federal agents.
Yeah, that the highest level of sovereignty in any government is the sheriff.
Think about what that would do to the United States if the sheriffs were the highest law enforcement agency in the United States. It would destroy the country. It would simply destroy the country. And frankly, if you're concerned about foreign affairs, it would make us totally vulnerable to anybody who came along. They could pick off one sheriff after another or one county after another. How did they get there, Gary? How did they get to the county sheriffs of the highest authority? Now, the Yavapai County Sheriff is one of these whack job Tea Party guys who says he won't enforce federal law. So he's saying he's going to violate any law he wants.
It goes back to the founding of the Posse Comitatus. I looked up one article, and it's a right wing. It describes it as a right wing extremist group that contended that the true intent of the country's founders was to establish a Christian republic where the individual was sovereign, and that the republic's first duty was to promote, safeguard, and protect the Christian faith. Totally contrary to the Constitution and to the intent of the founders. You can find many, many writings of Madison, who wrote the Bill of Rights, who believed in separation of church and state. Many of the founders were not Christian. So it's completely contrary to the founding of the nation.
So Gary, Bundy also sounds like, do we talk about Posse Comitatus? Bundy also sounds like he's a sovereign citizen. How does that relate? What is sovereign citizenship? I know there's been these shootouts in Louisiana where they killed some police and in Missouri.
I don't remember the whole context of it, but sovereign citizens basically believe that they're not a citizen of the United States as it currently exists. When the United States instituted taxes, that was the line. So they go back to they claim to be adherents to the true intent of the founders. And basically, they don't want to pay their income taxes.
They have all these scams.
That's
like
the heart of it.
Phony liens, and in some places they've studied it. Some places are really active, and what they do is they file all kinds of phony motions over and over, not to pay taxes, not to do this.
They tie up
claims
the
on other people's land, claims on public land, and they're all dismissed, and they're all sort of harassment suits. But there's, I think, in one place in Texas I was reading around, the guy is filing 100 of these things every month, and so people have to go through and decide that they're phony.
It's a
huge waste of time and taxpayer money.
It's a growing movement in Arizona, and particularly Yavapai County. We just had last year a young couple with two very young children that were sovereign citizens that were leaving the country because they didn't believe in the way the country was being run, and so they were on a boat in the middle of the Pacific and got in trouble with a storm and were rescued by Chilean fishermen, and then went to the U.S. embassy and asked the embassy to fly them back to Arizona,
and they did.
And they did. They dislike the government, this particularly the federal government, want nothing to do with it until it benefits them.
So Bob Thorpe is an example of a public official who goes and supports the defiance of the law. And their claim is that the BLM overreached. But you look at all those militiamen, you see why the BLM guys would have guns and tasers and stuff like that. There's a charge that they have SWAT teams. BLM has no SWAT teams. They really weren't prepared for this kind of a thing.
They didn't arrive with assault rifles and they were just, some private contractors and federal agents that were rounding up the cattle to remove them from the public lands that Bundy wasn't paying to his grazing.
One helicopter and some Wranglers was about it.
Yeah.
The United States government then appears to have backed down, and he's supported by both Bob Thorpe, who represents LD6, and by Paul Gosar, who is the congressperson.
Yes.
Man, from your guys' district.
Yeah, exactly.
And we used to do, when we started the show, we got all these flyers from the Koch Brother Front groups. And Mike and I would go through the flyers and we'd go onto the internet and we'd try to find out who these groups were. And they sent a constant stream of postcards, very large, well-printed, designed postcards in favor of Gosar. All the wonderful things he was doing to oppose health care and
help Social Security when he is on record as wanting to privatize Social Security. The 16 over, was that the name of there was?
Yeah, 60 plus. Koch Brothers Front Group.
So many, and boy, they
Americans
were,
for Prosperity, they were, Koch Brothers Front Group.
Exactly. And those things were coming to our mailboxes almost every day.
Do you guys still get them? I don't get them now that Gosar packed up and left Flagstaff and moved over to Prescott because he couldn't win over here.
No, he's not.
I'm not receiving anything except I write him emails and letters on a regular basis, and he's a master if you write him a letter about some environmental issue supporting the environment, you get a letter back saying, I too support the environment. And I feel strongly about protecting our national parks and our national lands. That's why I want to sensibly develop these, sell off the lands and develop them. He's a big proponent of mining of federal lands. His big job creation bill, that he spouts on his website, his primary, bit of legislation to create jobs.
His support for environmental legislation is at 4%, according to one of the environmental groups.
His big bill to create jobs was to sell off federal lands to mining companies and exploration companies and allow them to basically trash the land, and that would be a big job creator in his
I get his mailings. You get his mailings too, Gary?
I get his emails, yeah.
Yeah, his emails. I have very... He seems like he's on automatic. I've never seen a more rigorously dumb ideologue in my life. I mean, I'm not saying he's not clever and he got through dentistry school and all of that.
There's nothing authentic in any of his communications. They are all canned stuff.
They're all canned. I just get this really bad feeling that he's not even a thinking conservative or a thinking libertarian. He's just... I don't know. That's my impression. He's just regurgitating all this stuff.
Mostly all he does is regurgitate the right-wing, extreme right-wing talking points about Benghazi and the IRS and what's the other scandal?
I was thinking of the IRS, but
he's... he's on Daryl Issa's federal oversight committee or congressional oversight committee, and so mostly he spent his time in congressional hearings. They've had 13, I believe, congressional hearings on Benghazi to date. They've had 50 congressional briefings. There's been nothing found that implicates any wrongdoing by the administration or the State Department. Now we're about to, they've created a select committee to investigate, Benghazi yet again. There's been independent investigations as well.
When we looked at his support originally when he ran, Mike and I did, we found that his largest contributors were basically industry groupings, particularly right-wing industry grouping and mining and excavating groups. I was thinking about, the federal government, in Gosar's view, is the font of all evil, right? Federal government is always wrong. It never does anything right. So when you have a flood up in Flagstaff, it's the federal government's fault. It's the Forest Service fault because of the way they've used the land. There's no mention of the original logging of the land by a commercial interest. There's no mention of the fact that the builders built their land in a flood right on a long bunch of arroyos where they're going to flood and didn't do anything about it. And that the home buyers went and bought them either knowing or not knowing that they were in this massive flood area. And then it's all the federal government's fault. And then taxpayers have to pick up the money. And we do. We'll help them out. We don't want anybody's homes to get washed away. But still, it just seems mindlessly focused on one explanation for everything.
He and Thorpe and all of our representatives in this area, except for Ann Kirkpatrick, basically despise the federal government. And most of you'll see a huge percentage of their legislation that they propose is intended to nullify federal law or to take sovereignty over federal lands. For example, with the Bundy standoff, Gosar's statement was that the BLM infringed on the rights and liberties of American citizens in the way that they chose to deal with this matter and put the safety of the general public as well as their employees at risk. So going through a court, the court system, getting judgments against Bundy, and then when Bundy refuses to obey the judgments, they remove the cattle from the federal land. That's an infringement of rights. I mean, I to put it in perspective, imagine if I was a drug dealer and the government wanted to come arrest me and my neighbors you know, came to my aid all armed to the teeth and pointed their guns at the law enforcement, and they're willing to have an all-out war against the law enforcement. What do you think would happen?
Especially if you're right to sell heroin should not be abridged, I suppose.
What do you think would happen? It certainly wouldn't be the law enforcement going away and backing off.
Let me talk about the guy that's close to us. We're going to talk about one of the things you see, the things that makes me crazy is we understand the government that's closest to us the least. But we're going to talk about Bob Thorpe. We're going to talk about the LD6 representative, our representative, one of our representatives in the Arizona House. We're going to talk about, first of all, we're going to talk about a little bio stuff. He's a little, this is not a lot of information easily attainable on this guy. I'm going to guess that he's 57 years old. I haven't found a source yet that gives his age, but he lives on Lake Mary Road up in Flagstaff. He claims he doesn't live in Flagstaff. He lives in the Coconino, and this is in his own writing, he lives in the Coconino County Forest. Near Flagstaff. I can't find any source. He claims, I'm going to use the word claims, to have a BA, but I can't find any source of the institution that granted him that BA. And says he's been going to graduate school a long time.
Taking courses, right?
But
I think, remember, Mike, that we looked at his book on, and Gary, we looked at his book on the Constitution, and he's often described himself as a constitutional
number
author.
One claim for, as an employment.
And we looked at the book because we were going to debate and argue with it, and there was just nothing there, right, Gary?
All about how to behave as a Tea Party representative.
Yeah, it is almost nothing on the Constitution in the book on the Constitution.
And that's important, too. Everywhere you look, he's described as a teabagger, as a Tea Party candidate.
Because of this one self-published book. He's a big expert on the Constitution.
Right? Well, and because of all his positions, not just one self-published book, because of the supporters and the positions that he takes. We are going to talk, at least I'm going to talk about biographical stuff, and the two main things that he's kind of famous for is the support of Cliven Bundy, one of our topics this morning. And trying to get the Arizona legislature to buy bulletproof vests, which at a discount.
Was he going to sell them? He was going to sell them?
He
was facilitating the sale.
He was facilitating the sale and claim. I want to read a letter. I want to talk about his Facebook page. You can you don't have to take any of my word for this. You can go to his Facebook page. There's not much information there either. It's mostly not like a lot of people's Facebook pages. This one was put together by his campaign committee, admittedly on the Facebook page. He had nothing to do with it. He had nothing to do with it, but he doesn't claim to have anything to do with it. And it's mostly campaign information. Once again, you're not going to find out a lot about Robert Thorpe on his Facebook page. But you are going to find some negative letters that somehow got onto the page. You know how Facebook is. You can get some posts on there that people haven't taken down yet, apparently. But I want to read this one because it covers so much. It said, "Do you know Representative Thorpe supports Nevada Rancher? I am appalled that Representative Thorpe, a Republican from Flagstaff, finds so many reasons to sympathize with Nevada Rancher Cliven Bundy." Thorpe wrote a piece called Bundy's Struggles Highlight the Need for Less Federal Land. The thrust of his analysis is fully weighted against the federal government, which descended like locusts, in quotes, on public land that Bundy leases, for which he owes more than $1 million in grazing fees and interest. Thorpe says he is not taking sides as to who is legally correct, the Bureau of Land Management or Bundy. A question for Thorpe. Your legislative district, the LD6, the one we live in, has many federal grazing allotments. So would you be comfortable with Northern Arizona ranchers rebuffing the feds and not paying grazing fees that they owe? Thorpe is running for re-election. On his website, he lists people endorsing his campaign, which includes Senator Jeff Flake, Representative Paul Gosar, Arizona House Speaker Andy Tobin. I would like to know if these leaders stand by their endorsement of a public official who supports breaking the law. So yeah, they circled the wagons and they found the Bundy issue to be, I think, to be a big, to resonate well with the Tea Party politically, and which is why we're talking about it here this morning. It's because your representatives, both Gosar and Thorpe.
Because this thing could have ended peacefully. He could, if Bundy, I'm sure they'd work out a deal where Bundy could pay his fees over time, even though he hasn't paid them for 20 years. But it's not just the elected officials, right, Mike? It's the right-wing media. Sean Hannity making him a hero. Sean Hannity is the guy who's constantly preaching any law must be obeyed. He's particularly against illegal immigrants, undocumented people coming
beyond
into the country.
Beyond my purview this morning. The other thing I wanted to mention about Thorpe was that he was the one of the sponsors for what became SB 1062, probably the biggest negative impact on Arizona in the most recent legislature. He sponsored the House bill 2153 that was the counterpart to 1062, which almost became Arizona law.
The point I'd like to make is that people around this area are very reasonable people, yet we have three of the, if you include Gosar, we have, you know, four of the most extreme right-wing politicians that don't represent the interests of our area. All they're doing is spending most of their time attacking the federal government. If you look at some of the bills that and also the state government, if you look at some of the bills that they've put forward, Mike talked about the religion bill. You know, a lot of them are nullification bills that would have required the federal government to obtain permission from county sheriffs before conducting any law enforcement actions in the state. They would require federal agents to register with the local sheriff and provide a warrant before conducting any operation in the state. And this isn't just Thorpe. This is Brenda Barton and Chester Crandall.
All our representatives.
The Crandall and Thorpe co-sponsored a bill that would nullify all rules and regulations of the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, within the state. This is one of my, that really gets under my skin is Thorpe and Crandall co-sponsored a bill. I call it a stand your ground law for wolves or against wolves, that it would allow ranchers to kill one of the only 90 Mexican, there are 90 Mexican wolves in the wild, known to be in the wild in Arizona and in northern Mexico. And they sponsored a bill that would allow ranchers to kill wolves if they attack their cattle.
What is your guy's take, Mike and Gary, on why we have such extreme representation? Since most people there's a lot of conservatives here, there's a lot of moderates, there's a lot of liberals for all that matter. Why do we have such extreme representation? Why do we have people who go out and join militia groups in opposing an obvious whole series of court decisions, of federal law?
I can tell you that you can contact Representative Thorpe at 602-926-5219. That's the phone. That's his phone number. Now you can't go to his House member page and get any of his bio information, because he is the only member of the legislature and does not post his biographical information. If you go to his bio page that is provided by the state of Arizona, all you get is his voting, the bills that he's representing. So all this information on personally, I'm not sure I'm even comfortable with. I'd rather talk about a candidate's or an incumbent's, as Thorpe is now, political stances. I don't give a fat rat's behind about his personal life. I want to know what is he doing for or against the people that he's representing.
But how do these extreme guys get elected, Gary?
Well, I think, I went to, in the last election, I went to all of the debates between Thorpe and Crandall and Barton and their opponents. And they came across, or they tried very hard to follow the rules of Thorpe's self-published book, which is to be very polite and don't talk about the issues any more than you have to. And they took a very moderate seeming stances, and so people voted for them because they had the R after their name. When they got into office, I would bet that most people don't even know what bills they've sponsored and what actions they've done. You know, both Barton and Thorpe got in trouble for racist tweets about President Obama. They've done, you know, Thorpe got in trouble for, you know, arranging to sell bulletproof vests. They keep coming up with one sovereignty bill after another, trying to, they're fighting the federal government at every turn and doing very little to help people in the state of Arizona, in my opinion. And I think if the people, the reasonable people of Yavapai County and in our district looked at what they're actually, you know, believe in what they actually do as representatives, I think they'd be horrified. But because they have the, you know, because this is tends to be a Republican district and they have the R after the name, people vote for them.
So all of these guys that we're talking about pretty much went up and joined Clive and Bundy, who has no legal case. His whole story of his family owning this land, the impression you get that is this has been the family farm passed down for generations prior to, I guess, the state of Nevada existing. It's all a lie. It's all made up. The man drapes himself in the American flag. It believes that the United States as government doesn't exist. And Bob Thorpe and Paul Gosar go running to his side to defend him. I notice Gosar is a little careful. He doesn't say Bundy's right because the entire legal weight is against
him. Thorpe doesn't say Bundy's right either.
They're very careful.
He says he won't take position. I want to talk about domestic terrorism. We want to talk about, Thorpe mentioned in a press release how offended he was by Harry Reid, the president of the Senate. Use of the word domestic terrorism. So we want to call them domestic terrorists. We want to make sure we're just as offensive as Harry Reid.
If you look back to our December, go on the website, vvid.org website, and go back to the September of 2012, we have a couple of interviews and a program with Daryl Johnson, who studied right-wing militia groups in the United States and who said they were dangerous. He was basically pushed aside by the Obama administration, who didn't want a big fight on the issue. But we did two shows. There are two interviews with Daryl Johnson, who's an intelligence analyst who specializes in domestic terrorism and extremist groups.
We better get to our announcements.
Yeah, Mike, we got a movie coming up this...
Yes, May 29th. We got Gasland 2. If you enjoyed Gasland, the first time, we're going to do this again.
You too can see water on fire.
That's right. If you missed the Cuyahoga River in Ohio in the 60s, 70s, we get this.
Who's leading the discussion of this film?
Well, there's a rumor that I am, we have a good time after the movie. The idea is this is a free movie at the Sedona Library. 6 to 8 p.m. on May 29th. It's free. And then after the movie, we attempt a lively discussion and often have some really interesting discussion. In other words, people have been sitting there on their hands for, you know, 67 minutes or however long the movie is, and then they get a chance to speak. And so we want to invite you to Gasland 2 at the Sedona Library, May 29th at 6 p.m. And, you can have a shot at me. But just please remember I'm a veteran
figurative shot. Literal.
Oh, yes, please. And a sensitive guy. No, I do not want to take one for the team. No offense, guys, especially this team. I'll take one for Tayback, but that's another story. That's because he knows he's a rock and roll guy.
To thank some supporters of the show. Democrats of the Red Rocks, based in mostly in Sedona, Village of Oak Creek, and Dove, based down in the Verde
Democrats
Valley.
Democrats of the Verde Valley, yes. Look for our offices to be opening soon.
Yes, doors open in office. I think it's on, the grand opening is June
something
7th. You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.